son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that
natural burning, burning car.
Come in, it's your car, and you do what you want with it.
I own this car, I do as I please. I also own the highway, my taxes pay for that. They're both mine. I own the highway and I own the car. I own everything!
Big trouble. That's the rookie Suarez up and over Regan Smith. The big one out there to the trial.
Welcome to the Throwing Wrenches Podcast.
Welcome to Throwing Wrenches Podcast. This is Eric Stahl.
And I'm Daryl Scott. We're back for yet another installment. What number is this, Eric?
This is episode 5, and this is the All Petrol Show.
All Petrol. So if you've been listening over the last few weeks and you discovered, wow, these guys talk about electric and battery-powered cars.
This is weird.
I didn't sign up for this. Well, you're in the right place, because this is the All Petrol Edition. So give me fuel, give me fire, give me something I can use without copyright infringement. That's this edition.
Yeah. All right. And if you don't know, Throwing Wrenches is the podcast that Peoria deserves. That's the
auto podcast that Peoria deserves.
Thank you for catching that, Daryl. I still can't say it with a straight face. So.
I'm sure it's a good catchphrase. We also live by the motto of Kaizen, which is the Japanese phrase that means constant improvement, right?
Yeah, and we are working on it. Tonight, we actually have some production in the show, so look out for that later on.
That's extra special stuff. Goodness right there.
All right, if you don't know about Daryl and myself, my name is Eric Stahl, and I am a service manager at a local Peoria car dealership, new car dealership. And my man Daryl over there has been an icon in local radio for at least years. I grew up listening to Daryl on the radio.
Yeah. I used to work in radio for several years, and I also spent all my free time under the latest project in the driveway or in the car or helping somebody else do that. So lifelong gearheads, both of us.
He's being too generous. Yeah. This guy is a car guy through and through. He should be working in the car business, and I should have been working in the radio business.
I think we could do a vice versa or what do you call it, Freaky Friday thing.
There you go.
That'd be really freaky.
We both look like idiots. More so than our regular jobs,
That's true. Yeah. But we're back for more action here. The car season, car shows, car events, things like that are almost starting to wind down, but we're getting to that cool time of the year here in at least in the Midwest, where the leaves are starting to change. It's a good time to maybe take a little road trip, see some colors, or at least plan that out in the next month or two before you put your cool stuff away for the winter and get out the, as I call them, or as my friends call them, salt rats, and get ready for the long deep freeze that is winter.
Now, speaking of that, Friday Night Lights comes up this Saturday, or this Friday night. Jeez, Friday Night Lights, Friday,
hence the name. Yeah.
And it'll be at Junction City. I will not be there. I'm quite ashamed.
What?
I know. I got a flight that comes into Peoria at 9:30 Friday night. I don't think my wife's going to let me drive directly to Friday Night Lights. So, you going to be
probably
there?
Probably not. I'll probably be there. I'm just trying to figure out what vehicle I'm driving.
Yes, the stable has grown. We're going to talk about that later on.
Yeah. Well, at least now they all run. Knock on wood there. So, yeah, we'll figure it out. But I plan to be there.
Yeah. And that noise there was the Charlie Rose table.
Right.
Charlie's no longer using it, so we figured we'd just pick it up.
Due to a pending litigation, Charlie Rose is not with us anymore.
Yeah. We got his table. All right. So we did get some feedback this last week. And also, sponsors. I'm sorry. I hate to jump ahead.
Do a little plug.
Yeah, absolutely. If you would like us to read a one-minute short bit about your business or your website, we would be glad to enter that right here in this spot, or even at an earlier spot, or at the end of the show, whatever you prefer. We'll break it up into 5 different segments, 10 seconds each. We don't care.
I think that's fantastic. That you won't find a finer deal in all the land. And we can do a straight read through. We can do voices. We can do goofy. Cartoonish type things. I mean, just let us know, or not. Or not.
Yeah.
But please let us know.
Yeah, but no, believe me, you can spend $5 and go a long way on throwing wrenches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So also, going back to feedback, I threw it out there in Facebook. I said, is there anything you'd like to hear about on the show this week?
Mm-hmm.
We got a quick response from a fan, Bubby, and he wanted to talk about seatbelt laws, which that was funny because I had a little bit of a rant on Facebook, hear about the cops locally. And I hate to press the matter about the cops, because next thing you know, you find yourself getting pulled over, and you think it has something
to do. Oh, it's going to happen.
Because the cops listen to the podcast. Do cops listen to podcasts?
Maybe not this one anymore.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But Bubby's thing with seatbelt laws. And it was funny. I before Bubby had even sent this in, I'd had a conversation with a friend Monday. I went out to lunch with him. And we were talking about seatbelts. And he said, you know what they should do? If you're not wearing your seatbelt and you're in an accident, your insurance company just doesn't pay any claim for you. And he said that
easy as pie.
Yeah, that would be learned behavior. You would know if you were in an accident and you weren't wearing your seatbelt. Sucks to be you.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. It's kind of like the people that talk about the helmets on the motorcycles. Yeah. You know, like, well, your only person you're hurting is yourself. And it's like, well, yeah, unless your insurance company's paying out the yin yang. And
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, maybe there's
that's the biggest scam of them all, because you get insurance and you don't have to wear your helmet. You'd have to think there'd be something on that. If you get an accident, and you don't have your helmet on. Does your motorcycle insurance pay the same rate or same amount, you think?
Just makes it null and void. Who knows? There's, you know, when they started introducing the technology into the car, just plug Snapshot in and drive around and save money. It's like,
We can't even work on people's cars on freaking out. Don't unplug my Snapshot. I'm like, well, we got to do the recall. We have to get into your communication port. I'm sorry.
Flash this computer.
Oh, I'm going to call State Farm and make sure they know. I'm like, oh, my God, really? Is that what we've come down to?
It has. State Farm, it defaults to, they send them out now when you become a new policyholder.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we switched from, I forget, Liberty Mutual to State Farm a year or so ago, and we got them in the mail. Like, for all of the vehicles. And I'm like, well, first of all, half of them don't have an OBD2 port, so get this out of here. And second of all, mail the others
back. Volvo doesn't have a port like that?
Strangely enough, they did not have that in 1969.
They have a retrofit kit, maybe, so you can put to OBD2.
Yeah, it's three wires.
A fuse jumping thing like we used to do back in the day, you know.
Paperclip, man. Yeah. Remember the paperclip?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So when the check engine light flashed three times, you knew it was an oxygen sensor.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Flash 112, there you go. System check. Or it's kind of like you cross the streams and sometimes you short it out, and that's a bad thing, too.
Then you start a little fire.
Yeah. So. Anyways, yeah, I mean, how much more are we going to get little things and people and laws and stuff, you know, just to kind of creep into day-to-day life?
I think we need more danger, frankly. I mean, I think I talk about the motorcycle guy who was riding like a monkey the day with his helmet and his flip-flops on. But, I mean we've got to kill off some people. I don't know if you've seen these,
wow.
these
harsh.
These Avengers movies. Did you see this last one with Thanos where he's like...
No, I'm an adult, so I don't watch
that. Oh, see, watch that stuff every once in a while.
That's fine.
But the whole premise of that last movie was, there's too many people, so we should just take out... If we took out every other one, the world would be a better place. And I'm like, my kid's sitting there like, oh, my God, he's so cruel. And I'm like, yeah, he might have a point.
The man's onto something, son. Now, I will say this. I do, and I think the takeaway quote, the phrase that pays from this show is Eric just saying, we need a little more danger in the world.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty...
That's
maybe
me.
Maybe so.
Yeah. All right.
Danger's your middle name, is that right?
Yeah, I think it is. Or minor nuisance.
That's all right. So what do we got working on some projects here? There's some new things on the horizon that might involve a certain track car that you might have some familiarity with. What do you got?
So actually, this coming 2 weeks from now, September 29th and 30th. The autocross of the SCCA will be going on at Rantoul at the old airbase.
Okay.
And fortunately, we've had the 2013 FRS at the dealership as kind of our show car, our race car. And I got this wrap on it. And I took a bunch of pictures. And I don't know that I put them on Throwing Wrenches. I probably should do that.
We should put them out there.
Yeah.
ThrowingWrenches.com.
Yeah. ThrowingWrenches.com or our Facebook page where we're more apt to put stuff, which we'll talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
I went with some old school colors, the red, the orange, the yellow, that color scheme from Toyota Racing back in the 80s. Ivan Stewart ran with that when he was doing the Baja races. And then there was a series of Celica race cars back in the 80s, I think Dan Gurney series or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Celebrity Pro Tour and stuff like that. They had these white Celicas with that same orange and red and yellow scheme. And I loved those cars when I was a kid. And so I had a little bit of free range to do what I wanted on that with that car. Which God bless my owners for that, because sometimes I can that's pretty fun to have that ability to just kind of whip something up like that.
Imagine. Yeah.
So I worked with Pip Printing in Peoria. Shout out to Pip.
They do vehicle wraps?
Yeah, they print them right there in house, which is pretty
kidding.
Cool. You just bring. They say, hey, we're ready for your car today, and I dropped it off up there, and they basically print the wrap and put it on right there.
That's awesome. So, I mean, it's just like cut vinyl? Like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I assume. It's some kind of vinyl or something like that. But the cool thing to me is that, I mean, that red is red.
Yeah, it pops.
And, yeah, and for them to just print that off, it makes me wonder how soon that stuff fades. I guess it wouldn't matter whether they print it in-house or whether they get it shipped in from somewhere else. Somebody's making it, but pretty neat. I got to be honest.
It looks great.
I've watched people put these things on YouTube, and I watch them at SEMA. That's an art form unto itself, watching somebody put a wrap on.
Absolutely. No, I can't even put a bumper sticker on without blisters, and then you're popping them because you can't get them to squeeze out.
Yeah, no, you never. See, you can't put a bumper sticker on. You can knock down a microphone, though.
What was I even flailing my hands about? Getting excited about a squeegee and a bumper sticker.
That was a hell of a noise, I'm going to give you that.
It was.
Yeah, no, you never pop the sticker, Daryl. You never puncture it because you just introduce air to that spot or water and you just screwed the whole thing up. So
that explains everything I've done wrong in my life. Don't pop it.
Now, one thing I did want to, I hate to get back because we were talking about projects, but on the Facebook page this last week, actually it was during Cars and Coffee, I had gotten this new app for my iPad that where I could make something cartooned.
Oh, yeah.
And so I cartooned some pictures, and then you cartooned some pictures of the Volvo. And it becomes this twisted little addiction, you know, to take some pictures.
You should see the gallery. You should get on my phone. Yeah. It's all that stuff.
Is it?
Since that app, man, I've wasted so much time.
But it's funny. There was a Star Trek episode, Star Trek Next Generation, where there was a civilization of people that couldn't have kids anymore, so they were trying to bring some kids in. And they let this kid have this laser toy where he could cut a block of wood into anything he wanted. And he made a dolphin. They're like, oh, what is that? And he's like, oh, I made a dolphin. They're like, you have so much skill. And he's like, I didn't really do anything. I just thought about it. And they're like, oh, you're an artist. And I thought, that's what this app does to me. It makes me feel like I'm a genius.
Turns you into an artist.
Yeah, but it's really 5 minutes of work. And I'm like, oh, look what I did, you know. It's like paint by numbers or something for adults or adult coloring books. I don't know.
It makes life interesting, though.
I guess.
There's so many Snapchat filters you can use. Sometimes you just got to make yourself look like Deadpool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. We'll try that later.
Maybe.
We can maybe take a picture for the show as Deadpool.
I don't have an iPhone, though, so I have a slightly different app, so my cartoon stuff doesn't. Like,
oh, okay.
I did a bunch of the Tahoe.
Okay.
I did a bunch of the 56 Chevy my dad has, and I'm like, this looks really cool. It looks like one of those like graphic novels. Like, who's the guy who did 300?
Frank Miller.
There you go. It looks like a Frank Miller thing.
Yeah. See, I read comic books, Daryl, because I'm a kid.
I don't get pop culture and you kids and your wacky world. Anyways,
so anyway,
it's cool. Yeah. Cool stuff.
Yeah. So I hate to. That was just a side note there, but anyway, other project got going on 2 weeks ago. A 4Runner came up for sale. Actually, this 4Runner's been sitting down in Creve Coeur for like 2 months. I've been driving past. It was Desert Dune. I knew it was two-wheel drive because I knew just by looking at the steel bumpers, I knew by the size of the wheels that this was an odd duck for Central Illinois.
What year? What year is this 4Runner?
1998, I believe.
Okay, so it still has kind of the old-school like SR5 Tacoma look to it?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. The smaller body style 4Runner, yeah. I think it's called a third gen. I was kind of excited about it because for a 16-year-old kid, I think a two-wheel drive is fine. It's a four-cylinder. In the southern states and western states, you'd call it like a beach cruiser.
Okay.
Not very popular around here, but I knew what it was. And to me, I was okay. The 2.7 liter that's in that truck is bulletproof.
Nice.
The kid can't screw that up.
And it's not going to be a rocket ship where you're going to worry
God,
about
no.
it.
God, no. Like, that and the Volvo may have a running race.
Like a Bataan death march to 65.
Exactly. But, that's all right. I tell you what, these people at Cruisin' Motors, they three times asked me, like, are you sure you want this? You know it's two-wheel drive, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, and so she turned around and she talked to somebody else. You know this is two-wheel drive. And I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? She goes, well, we've had a lot of people want to buy it, and then they find it's two-wheel drive, and they walk away. And
that's why. That's why it was sitting. People were like, oh, I want something for winter.
Yeah, so I actually got it. It was already in Morton, ready to go to the Morton Auto Auction. They're like, we couldn't sell it. We're going to take it to the auction. So
no kidding.
Yeah, so I got it for a pretty good price, I think. I knew what auction value was. I offered them $600 over auction value. And
right on.
I was being fair,
I thought. Yeah, well, and they get to sell. They get to move something that's been sitting a while.
And not pay auction fees. So
why do you think people are that freaked out about the two-wheel drive?
I don't understand.
Oh, in the snow. Yeah, in the 3 days a year where nothing can get through.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be on the road getting milk and bread and whatever people get in a blizzard.
Yeah, I don't know what the logic is on that. You know, it is rear-wheel drive. It doesn't have a locker on it or anything like that, but there is a perception you have to have four-wheel drive. I mean, honestly, this car only has a 15-gallon tank. It's going to get decent fuel economy for an SUV. I'm going to put some oversized tires on it. I'm going to get to that here in a second.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with the two-wheel drive. And honestly, for my 16-year-old kid, he doesn't need four-wheel drive because then he'll be tempted to take the thing out in the fields and everything else like I would have when I was his age. So.
Yeah. I think I had two friends in high school that had four-wheel drive trucks and, you know, bad things ensued because it was, hey, I'm going to put this in four-wheel low and climb up this shopping mall. You know, like, no, that's...
Hey, look at those mailboxes over there. Anyway, the cool thing about this is, because I have some people I know in the community, and maybe some of them are listening right now, I've had people all over the place, hey, got these shocks, hey, I got these springs, hey, I got these tires.
Okay.
So that was not even planned. You know, I bought this thing, I thought, well, I'll do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that. But
yeah.
There's been an overwhelming support from friends and stuff who have just bits laying around. So that's going to be really cool when it's all done. It's sitting at the store right now. It's it needs an exhaust welded. And I knew it was leaking from the power steering rack, so we'll get that fixed, too.
Nice. Nothing too serious. Get it back on the road.
$350 power steering rack, and it drives. So it'll be fun.
Awesome.
What about you? I rode in your new project thing that I saw. We'll talk about that, but tell everybody what you got going on here, Daryl.
Well, as long as we're talking about late 90s SUVs that need a little love, I had a friend of mine reach out who basically got in touch and said, hey, I'm looking to sell this Tahoe that I got. You might be interested, and you'd probably be somebody who'd appreciate it. You know, you want to take it for a spin? I'm like, yeah, sure. So we met up over lunch, drove it. And I think within, you know, 2-3 days after that, I think, you know, I was sitting in my driveway. So I picked up a 1999 Chevrolet Tahoe Limited, which up until a few years ago, I didn't know anything about, didn't know they existed. I didn't know what was special about it. It's a two-wheel drive Tahoe, which is...
I didn't know it's two-wheel drive.
Yeah, two-wheel drive. It was basically parts bin engineering where they took all the cool bits from different models, like the diesel bumper that had the notches, the cutouts for, you know, the intercooler.
Yeah.
And they put fog lights in them and painted it black so it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's basically a giant black Tahoe with kind of a one-year-only body kit on it. It looks similar to like an Escalade or a Denali where it's got the ground effects, but it's unique to that.
Yeah.
The interior is a little different. And,
it's got that gray and black leather.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of got like a little 90s Learjet feel to it.
It does.
And it came originally with a 350, a Vortec 350, which made like 250 horse and was a dog. And just the Vortec motors, you know, they're okay-ish, but they didn't do that hot in terms of performance. And so this has been replaced with a 4.8-liter LS1 V8. Still has the 4L60E automatic with some work done to it, but... that 4.8, a lot of people think, oh, that's the tiniest LS. Why do you bother swapping those in? I can tell you it's a vast improvement over stock. You get more horsepower, better fuel economy, and, you know, that's what they're still putting in stuff now. So you can go down to O'Reilly's and get, you know, thermostat or whatever common thing you need, alternator, that kind of thing, coil pack. So, I picked it up, and, you know, it's – we'll talk a little bit later. I've watched a lot of YouTube videos about what's it like to drive a daily driver with an LS swap, and everyone's got these, you know, BMWs or cooler cars, you know, and this is like...
First off, that's bastardization of a BMW if somebody's doing an LS swap in it. Who does these things?
I mean, I can see that. I can also respect the fact
LS
that...
The LS swaps and the Mustangs are the one that really have me scratching my head all the time.
I don't get that either. And I know there's a few around here, and I'm like... What's the deal? Like, it's cool, man. I'm like, yeah, you throw a blower or you throw a couple of turbos on it and just go to town because it's easy. You can get the parts.
But you're still dropping a GM engine in a Ford product. It makes no sense.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah. It's like a... Never mind. I'm not going to get into transsexual references. Anyway.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's the only other thing that I got just those little annoying 20-year-old vehicle things to sort out, kind of like you were talking about. You know, like the doors rattle and, you know, like there's little clips that, you know, missing, and I just got to get on a few small things like that. But the thing goes good, and for the amount of money, there's no way I'm ever going to touch a 10-year-old Suburban that needs, first of all, you get a 10-year-old Suburban or Tahoe or something, a big SUV to haul and tow stuff, it's going to need everything that's going to need.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
So,
and be a higher cost repair on everything, too.
Right, right. Dealer-only stuff, you know, you get into that. So
those wheels it's sitting on, I mean, it looks like it's lowered. Is that the natural stance of that vehicle?
Yeah, I think it's lowered. I think it was 2 inches in the front, or maybe it was 3 inches, and I think the back has, it's got a little gangster lean to it. It's jet black. It's got 20-inch blades on it. They're big Eagle alloys.
Look beautiful. They really set the vehicle off, honestly.
Yeah, I'll put up some pictures. It's when you see it coming, it looks like, you know, an NBA star from the 90s should be driving.
Scottie Pippen and his seven kids be hopping out of that thing,
or just me,
or a U.S. Marshal. If it weren't for those rims, I'd say it was a U.S. Marshal pulling up behind me.
Yeah, I sent my dad a picture. He's like, it looks like a staff, like a Secret Service staff car. What's going on? So, anyways, yeah, it's good stuff, and yeah, kudos to you for finding a good deal too with that 4Runner. I think I paid
about half what you paid for yours, and nice. Yours definitely is cooler.
I don't know. You know, it's all cool, and it's something you're going to have fun with. You're going to build,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
You're going to build, and you'll be in it for not that much money, and you're still going to have more fun than if you went out and bought it. maybe. He says,
you never know.
We'll see what happens. LS swap it. Who cares?
Now, I did drive Daryl's rig, and we went around the block, so to say, the 4 mile stretch around the block, and there's just something about that motor. It's that.
That growl.
It was fun. Yeah. It wasn't like I wasn't burning rubber or anything like that, but just the throaty sound of that thing.
And after driving something that, you know, 100 horsepower four cylinder for 5 years, it's like I need something with some chutzpah, as they say.
Now, the irony of this whole thing, post show, I think two episodes ago, Daryl was talking about this guy
Is
he in Hope Day or San Joe's, or where's this guy at?
Yeah, further south, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's this guy, but I don't think I'm going to do it. And I'm like, well, doesn't sound very practical there. Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
And then a week later. Yeah, send him a picture. I sent Eric a picture. What do you think?
No, he said, I did a bad thing. I think it's like what you put on there.
I forgot. I texted everybody. You know, that's the excitement, though. Like, when you get something new, I think sent me a picture of the 4Runner, just did the deal, you know.
Yeah,
it's like Saturday at 3:30. You're like, all right, man, go ahead. Good for you.
What would you do, you know, when you got a new bike when you were a kid? You'd ride it all around town to show everybody, hey, look at the bike I got.
Check this out.
Yeah, exactly. Or the car or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. That's fun.
Same thing. It's great to know that you can be near 50 years old and still doing the same shit you were doing when you were 10.
Yeah. That's right. Still be excited as, like, a kid on Christmas.
Shoot. All right, so... we are mixing up a little bit on the show. Daryl and I have been talking about it, and the show can grow and progress. We're only five episodes in, so if we decide we want to talk about some other stuff, we'll do it. I had a couple customers this week, and I thought, well, this is kind of funny. I don't know, you know, insider in the car business. Not trying to single anybody out, but you know, if you ever want a perspective from my side, you know, from what we see, of course, everybody always thinks we're these horrible people that are just trying to steal.
Oh, the service guys! I tell you what.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. Customer came in this last week, and I'm going to call him the bouncer. And the reason I call him the bouncer...
Did he look like Stallone?
No, he did not
look
like...
My car.
No, yo, Adrian. No, I call him the bouncer because he's bounced back between two dealers, you know, in the last couple of years. And I had my fill of him a couple of years ago. And he had his fill of us. You know, he thought we were doing a terrible job. Well, then 3 or 4 years later, he shows back up and says, man, if you guys take care of me here, I'll always do my service here with you. Well, it's funny because I was just talking to the service manager from the competing store, and I'm like, hey.
You guys talk to each other?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I said, guess who walked into my store? Well, I still jab at that guy. I mean, I send out coupons and stuff to just point directly at them. You say, hey, we're better than them. But as long as we're thick-skinned about it, you know.
Right.
We're all in the same business. We're all trying to get the same customers. But anyway, he goes, oh, you can have him. I'm like, no, really, really. I think you should see what he's like, no, you can have him. I'm like, oh, great. So now something didn't pan out. We didn't get to do his work anyway. And I was okay with it. But he'll probably still be back because he's so upset with the other dealership across the river. I'm like, ugh.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
See, here's me. I'm loyal to a point, you know, but at the same time, if it's something I got to bring in for a warranty or service or something, and it's the difference between 5 minutes drive to the dealer or 35-minute drive, guess where I'm going?
You're going 5 minutes.
Yeah, unless their service manager is a tool. Which may or may not have happened recently, but that's a whole other story we won't get into. So the bouncer, he's going to bounce back, you think?
Well, I think I'm stuck with him for a while until we upset him. So
until his parts
come in. I'm not going to purposely upset him, but right. I'm not giving this guy any breaks. I'm tired of it. You know, you can only do so much.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You got another customer story.
I do. Had another one rolling this week.
That involves light bulbs?
Yeah, the bulb lady. You know, when you own a Prius or any high-tech car, especially with HID headlamps, and these bulbs go out, they're expensive. I've seen Audis, I've seen Cadillacs. These bulbs are $500 or $700 a piece.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to buy a $700 bulb. That's the last thing I'm going to do is put a $700 bulb in my car. And I'll be the first one to admit that we've called AutoZone or wherever on a used car and thrown a $250 bulb in there. It still says Sylvania on it.
Right.
And it looks pretty darn close to the one we pulled out that's the manufacturer bulb. and got it down the road, you know, for a third the cost. But we had one this week. The gal had gone to Firestone. Don't know which Firestone, but and I shouldn't even say Firestone. I should just say it's a stone.
A stone of fire.
A stone of fire.
A warm stone.
But her bulb's out. She's like, my bulb keeps burning out, and I spent $700 putting ballast in my light assemblies. And I'm like, we don't put ballast in these things. So if anybody said to put a ballast in it, I think they were, you know, overreaching.
A little questionable.
Yeah. And God bless stone of fire. You know, but I would trust them to diagnose my shocks, maybe, or my tires.
Yeah, throw some tires on.
Yeah, but, yeah. Man, I would not have them doing electric diagnosis on $700 ballast.
We're experts in xenon bulbs.
So she comes
and
in
oil
with
changes.
A burned out bulb again, and she comes in, and she's like, these bulbs keep burning out, and they put a ballast in. We put a factory bulb in there. The bulb works fine. Ballasts are fine, lady. It's just these cheap bulbs.
They went to Menards and got like a fluorescent ballast and wired it in with wire nuts.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. She's like, what do I do? I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Go back to Firestone, ask for your money back.
$700. So, yeah, I'm sure there's no warranty with that.
No, there's not. Well, I don't know what Firestone is. I mean, if you buy a factory bulb from my manufacturer, mm-hmm. you get 1 year unlimited miles.
Okay.
So I think, you know, just spend the $200 on the bulb, and if it goes out within a year, hey, free bulb.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it would work. And I've done that. My 05 Prius had the same problem. I replaced both of the headlight bulbs within like 6 months of each other.
No, they just
failed. They were like $180 each.
Yeah.
And believe me, I didn't want to do it, but...
Well, you need to see at night. There's that. Well, I will say, a friend of mine told me he had a BMW a few years back, and they've got those cool halo lights, you know, mm-hmm. like you see around the headlights, a parking light kind of thing. And yeah, his went out, and he was like, it was $800.
Oh, yeah.
$800. And I'm like... Yeah, that's a German car
See,
for you.
And here's the conundrum with this. And I don't think I brought this up in other episodes, but I would like to know what engineers decided that the $39 bulb is that much less efficient than an $800 bulb.
Right.
What is the lumens difference? And what is the reach difference? Couldn't we just put two of those $30 bulbs in there and get just about the same results as the $800 bulb?
I had a stroke because in the Tahoe on the way over, it was going to be rainy and kind of foggy. So I'm like, I'm going to replace this one burned out fog light. And I knew it had those Sylvania Silver Stars.
Mm-hmm.
I spent $25 on a fog light and I was dying inside because I come from the school of thought, well, that should be like $8.
Some of them are like $125 for us because they already have the dongle on them.
Insane.
And I'm just like, oh my God, can't we just like solder a new bulb on there? You know?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you can go on eBay and get a 100-watt whatever, burn your face off light bulb.
Yeah,
and
melt your headlight assembly, you know. Well, I love that when people come in. It's like, I don't know what's going on. These headlights are drooping and melting in the middle. Oh, did you replace the bulbs? Well, yeah. Well,
yeah. Did your kid get them on eBay or Rock Auto? Universal Fit?
Oh, geez. Yeah, dude, stuff. There is so much junk online. And I'm the first one to look at it.
I'm the first one to buy it and then throw it out and buy what I should have bought in the first place.
Oh, golly.
Whatever. Yeah.
You had a dealership experience. What happened here?
Yeah. Your couple shows ago, your comments about being the guy who sits on the recall, you know, and then like 3 years later, like, hey, there's something wrong with my car. And it's like, yeah, I would have taken care of that for you 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
The postcard.
I actually had one of those again this week.
Another one?
Yeah.
Great. Well, I was that guy, and I don't want to blame anybody or anything other than I just didn't make the time to do it. But I got a thing in the mail last year from Fiat Chrysler because my wife and I both have Jeep Patriots. I got an 09. Right. She got a 2013. And, you know, just cheap little dailies. And they've been pretty good for the most part. But I got a thing from Fiat Chrysler like, you know, bring your vehicle in for a warranty extension cross-member inspection. And for me, I'm like, first of all, what does that even mean? Second of all, ain't nobody got time for that. Like, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, book an appointment and bring it in. And
you're the guy 3 years later that I say you should have brought it in.
Yeah, so fast forward a year and a half, and I'm under the thing doing an oil change over the weekend. And I'm like, yeah, it's just a little crusty back here on the end of on the undercarriage. Just looks, this one spot doesn't look good. And I start chipping away at it, and sure enough, half the crossmember's gone. Just rotted completely out. And I didn't pry any more at it because I was afraid the motor would fall on my head. So I tried calling to book some time to get it in because, of course, it's not a recall. It's a warranty extension if they deem, you know, it's worth it. And it is because there's a big, you know, cavity in there. So I couldn't get in till I think the two dealers I called, they were into October already. And then the one that I bought the vehicle from, which is further away... they're like, yeah, I'll get you in next week. But we still got to inspect it and then order parts because mm-hmm. nobody carries parts for a lot of that stuff until they
Well, I know on some of our stuff, it's manually allocated based on the VIN number, so you have to provide a VIN before they'll send the part to you.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
And that may be the case there. It may not. And what they want to do is prevent dealers up in Chicago from sitting on 100 of these things.
Yeah, I got 100 in the stock room.
Yeah, so you come to our dealership, we got you covered, but nobody else in the region can get them.
Can they do that? Can they hoard parts?
Oh, yeah. It used to be. So that they've
the big volume dealers?
They've locked that down, so that now they have to. But you can still work around that. You can get every VIN number, every car in your system, and yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll get it taken care of. I'm sure they're going to come through. I got faith in the dealer here that we bought it from, and we've had pretty good warranty work done through that. But, yeah, here again, talking about something we touched on a previous show, something that's less than 10 years old, and the metal is so crappily treated or thin that it just rusts right out here in the salt belt here in the Midwest.
Yeah, and I think that just, you know, if you go north, you go to Minnesota, you go to Wisconsin, there's no salt. You go south, they don't deal with salt. We just live in a particularly bad area.
The Great Lakes, kind of.
Yeah, and I can watch from the dealers I know from basically Massachusetts down to basically Illinois, that swoop right there.
Yeah.
And Pennsylvania and Ohio are some of the worst states.
It's even worse.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't even buy a used car from New York State or something like
that. Yeah, I heard upstate New York is terrible.
Terrible, yeah. Yeah, so just run away if somebody's like, oh, I got a great old car. You know, it was up in Buffalo. Yeah. No, get away from it.
Been sitting in the barn since 1948. What year is it? 47? Rusted out.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on to our typical segments of the show.
Goody.
The news. All right. And
this is a cool photograph. We're going to have to share this on our site.
Yeah, I like the zebra paint. I love spy photos where they try and put these things in these camouflage paint. And
this car is at the proving ground, spy photo on the test track.
It's like the battleships from World War II where they put the scheme on them so you can't tell what direction they're going.
Right.
You know? It almost works on a fast car, I'm not sure. Yeah. I love the way they put this. The secret mid-engine Chevrolet supercar spotted in Germany. It was out... it's the worst kept secret, according to whatever magazine I picked up here. It's a secret mid-engine supercar that's been spotted on the racetrack in Germany in what appears to be production form 4 months ahead of its anticipated debut at the Detroit Auto Show. Sorry, hard for me to speak tonight.
No, you're fine.
Yeah. Nuremberg racetrack. So, you know, the Nuremberg is kind of the thing. If you're going to put a car out and you're going to show everybody, you know, that it actually has the acumen to be a race car,
sure,
you got to have those Nuremberg numbers, right?
Yep. And it's a cool course. I don't know, at least when I raced it on the video games that I grew up with, like Gran Turismo.
For a slight second, I thought you might have actually still.
No, I don't go anywhere. But that is one of my bucket list things. I would love to go through there. But they're apparently putting it through its paces. They got another one of those test mules, a mid-engined supercar, a.k.a. the next generation Corvette, folks. It's going to be mid-engined. We think... of course, they've been saying that since the 70s.
Have they been saying it since the 70s?
I think there's like the Aerovet. There's been a couple concept cars where they've done, and pretty nice ones, a mid-engine setup, especially during the era of the Fiero and stuff. Okay. They were kind of thinking of taking it one step further.
Is that their test product? The Fiero is what launched?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's time. I don't know. We were talking before the show. I'm kind of a purist. I'm not a huge Corvette fan, but I also, you know, if I see an old Corvette at a show or something, I'll check it out if it's pretty nice. But I think the time has come to elevate it. The Corvette's a world-class car. I mean, hands down, for the price, the amount of money you put into something like that, the thing can run circles around a lot of other cars that everybody drools over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For what you'd spend on a McLaren or something like that, you know, 10 times as much money as this car.
Yeah, and this will come close.
Yeah, and the mid-engine puts it in that supercar category because at that point the stance is there. I mean, these long-snouted vets of history, those cars are great. They have beautiful designs. I still think a Stingray is one of the most beautiful cars in the world.
I agree.
And I think for the next 30 or 40 years, I'll still believe that when I see a Stingray on the road, I'll be like, look at that thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think there's a time and a place. I think even if they didn't call it the Corvette, and they still need to have a mid-engine car in this regard.
Kind of the halo car. Yeah. General Motors, you know, that's what kind of got it world recognition was the fact that, you know, you could actually take something that you could go in a dealer that sold the Impala sedans and wagons everybody bought. Every dealer had a Corvette in the showroom. I'm like, wow, this thing, I saw it on the TV at Le Mans tearing it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's time to be, you know, even more of a world-class car. And if that means shifting the motor a little further to the back, let's do it. I think time's now.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. This car is beautiful, by the way, even with its paint scheme on it, the leopard print or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, a little Ferrari-esque.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is okay with me.
Yeah, no problem with that.
All right, we're going to do some national news.
Yeah, national news. I'll put a link to this in the show notes, but there's a great article here. It's I believe it's like Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. There is a business that has basically taken old cars and they deconstruct them. They, you know, they strip them down. It's full-time jobs. It's union jobs for guys. And it's not a real technical job, but it's a decent wage-paying job that, that gets these guys out and about. And it's in a depressed area of the country where there was factories and stuff like that. But, you know, there are so many cars that are getting junked and getting taken out of service. And there's so many valuable little pieces. I mean, if you go on eBay right now and you look up a used part for any car, even your Tahoe,
right,
you're going to find listings for stuff, for door switches.
Right,
for,
headlights. I mean, the head lenses are huge expensive. My parents have an old 08 Saturn, and they needed a rear taillight. And used, those things are going for $100 plus. You're like, really? It's a little piece of plastic.
Yeah. But
it is.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'll put a link to it. It was very enlightening. I really enjoyed reading it. I like the fact that there's these little niche industries that pop up every once in a while. It's stuff you don't even think about. You know, we know there's junkyards. We know, you know, there's new car dealers and used car dealers. But then there's little side businesses like this that are existing and just making jobs for people. So, pretty cool.
Well, I think everybody, especially, you know, as gearheads, have seen videos of something cool going into a chipper at a junkyard, and it's still got the glass in it.
Well, the chipper videos, I can watch chipper videos all day.
I mean, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But like even the old school, the hydraulic, you know, rams that press them into a cube, like in that Bond movie. But yeah, they're still, even in this day and age, we're all about, you know, EPA-friendly, you know, processing and making sure we recycle and all that stuff. There's still cars that get junked and sent to, you know, get melted back down into whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And half the stuff that's in there is something that could be reused. Yeah, even if it's something as simple as an EGR valve or something that on the used market could bring some value, get a few more miles out for somebody. So it's good that there's places out there that are doing this.
Yeah. So tell me about this. We had local-ish news here.
Yeah, I mean, local-ish just only because
maybe
it's that time of year.
Opinion.
Yeah. A little opinion. So in 20, I think it was 2015, there was a pair of local guys that set up a road rally called the Mezzo 200. And I don't know if anyone listening either participated in that or remembered seeing some of the stickers or maybe went to Tower Park. It was a pre-1973 like vintage car road rally. And it was 200 miles around the scenic Illinois River Valley, went out to Bishop Hill. They had little checkpoints. We went up to Princeton. We went up to Hennepin. We stopped in Lakin and had like a, you know, a hot dog at the stand on the river that everyone drives by that nobody's been to.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. The guys that showed up, I mean, old Chevys, T-Birds, Porsche 356 coupes. We had a guy with a Lotus Europa, an old Citroen DS. Like just some really cool stuff that showed up. And they're cars that, frankly, don't go anywhere else. There are guys that have, and women that have them in the garage, and they take them out on the early morning Sunday drive.
Yeah.
And you don't see them at a show.
Got the tweed hats on.
Right. We took our 47 Chevy, which really you're like, why is that? But it was also open to, you know, any vintage car or touring sedan. So, you know, it kind of counted, I guess. I did buy a tweed hat and I did buy gloves. I bought driving gloves. My wife was like, what are you doing this for?
Oh God.
So, but it was a fun trip.
They wear some Zsa Gabor gloves, you know,
a little scarf, you know, like the shades.
Yeah, she's been good.
And slap a police officer like Zsa Zsa. A lot of you old kids will remember that story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a good time. They tried to do it again the next year, but they moved it up to Chicago and it just kind of fizzled out. But there was a big group here, I think, who they're hungry for just taking something cool. It doesn't have to be vintage. Vintage is fun, and I like the old stuff. You know me. But you know, just a nice road rally that isn't timed. It's not like a cannonball run or what's the other one?
The gumball.
Gumball rally where people just get blown up and thrown in jail. In a
I think that's Death Race 2000.
Oh, that's that movie.
Yeah, that was with Malcolm McDowell or something. You know.
It's not that bad. But no, something where you just get the car out, you have a plotted course. You go out, you have a couple of stops at local businesses and see some color and see some fall foliage. You just have a good time. I think the big drawback to people not wanting to host something like that is, you know, you got liability. You know, well, what happens if somebody crashes? Then who gets sued? It's like you got to take policies out. You got to protect yourself.
Yeah, I guess if it's formal, then you have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, insurance sucks.
Why
can't we just have fun as a group of people and just not worry about that stuff? Why do you have to worry about some guy in the group suing us all because the wheel popped off of his beater, you know?
Exactly. And the thing that I really appreciated with this one that they did, the first one they did, I didn't go to the second year, but the first one, there was a guy who rolled up in an Aston Martin DB5, like the James Bond car, Goldfinger.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. And this thing, I don't know what those go for now, but it's
quarter million,
deep six figures. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
So this guy was driving it around and, you know, drinking coffee and letting kids sit in it. And, you know, if anything bad was going to happen, you know, it had the old knockoff wheels, you know, like something bad is going to happen. It's going to happen on something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's fine with it. So people have cool stuff. I wish there was a venue for them to take it out and enjoy it without the threat of lawsuit or whatever. So I don't know. Stay tuned. Maybe
we might be the ones to plan that. You never know.
Maybe we'll bring it back.
Yeah. All right, so for new segment in the show, you're going to have to hang on because I'll probably have to edit this part because we've got to line it all up. Daryl, I know this show is all petrol, so what is more petrol than 203,000 gallons of kerosene?
Are you talking about the space race?
We're talking about a rocket ship to the moon.
Oh, well.
All right, we're going to tell you a little bit about...
Throwing Wrenches presents... Your moment of must.
All right, this is a new segment of the show, Your Moment of Musk.
Wow.
All right, so if you didn't hear the news this week, Elon Musk found a Japanese drummer to fly to the moon, and his name is Yasuka Mizawa. Anybody who's familiar with Yasuka Mizawa knows that he is the owner of Zuzu Town, which makes these awesome Zuzu suits.
If you say so.
You buy the Zuzu suit, and then you wear it. It's got, like, all these little nodes on it, so you can, like, put yourself on your smartphone, and then you can find out what kind of clothes will fit you and what they'll look like. Regardless of this, Mizawa says he's going to go to the moon, he's going to take some artists with him, and he's going to bring a film director, a painter, a dancer, a novelist, a musician, a fashion designer, a sculptor, a photographer, and an architect to help him on the trip.
Everybody pile in.
Everybody pile in.
Wow. And
this has been your Moment of Musk.
Might need a longer intro on
might
that.
Might need any more time for the Moment of Musk. Anyway, this is real life, folks.
So this dude's bringing, the goal is to bring everybody into their little capsule.
I don't know how many square feet fit. I mean, maybe Elon made some giant promise here of what all is going to go on in the ship, but that's a lot of people.
That's okay, so...
Can you take your oils? I mean, how many oils could you take? Because I think, what do they charge per ounce to get stuff into space?
You know, what cocktail party did he and Elon Musk meet at where he's like, hey, I want you to be on my next flight. You know, like, and then I want you to bring 20 of your artist friends. It's just, the whole thing's just weird.
Now, adding on to this, the all-artist crew will create art on the way to the moon, and then they'll have a massive exhibition, which again, massive, I guess, maybe if it's digital when they blow it up when they get home, and the celebration of their return. He's calling the project hashtag Dear Moon. So go ahead and check the hashtag Dear Moon and see what's going on there.
Wow.
His personal net worth is $2.7 billion, but I had read to go to the moon and back, this is going to be like a $5 billion trip.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, we have starving people on many parts of the continents. We've got an energy problem. We've got all kinds of things going on in the world. No cure for cancer, but we're going to send some artists into space.
You're not thinking progressively, Daryl.
I guess not. I guess not. I'll never understand that, but that's why we bring you these types of segments to bring you up to speed on what the real world is all about.
Yeah. I think what I'm going to do next time is we'll just let the Elon music go and go and go and go.
Just loop it?
Yeah, because obviously this could be a five-minute segment. So anyway.
I thought we were safe, folks. I really did. I thought he's like, yeah, we're going to talk about gasoline stuff. We're not going to get into electric cars. We've touched on that a lot.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we technically didn't.
So no, we talked about.
It's like pop culture, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
What was the hashtag?
Dear Moon. Oh, dear me.
Oh, brother.
All right. Question of the week.
Mm.
This is a new segment as well.
Okay. All right.
I kind of upset the local beer nerds. Listen to me. The local car nerds this week. I piss off the beer nerds,
too. There's some same people in that.
A few of them.
Cross-pollination.
Steven. Anyway. unmarked police cars. I'd gone across the bridge, and I was at Peoria Heights, up at Poor Brothers, had two beers. I know I didn't drink that much because my bill was $12. And if you only spend $12 at Poor Brothers...
You're doing pretty good.
You haven't drank that much.
All right, fair enough.
But got across the bridge. I was up by one ICC next to... right next to ICC on 24, and there was the roadblock. There was a safety inspection. And I got through it, but I'm just like, ugh, this... So much anxiety. It makes me not even want to go across the river, first off, to go to Peoria Heights.
You're going to be one of those people? I don't go across the river. It's too scary.
Well, no. It's just I don't want to have to risk, you know, them waiting for me when I cross in my own county. And I've run into these safety checks also on Northern 29 in East Peoria.
Yeah.
They're always waiting for you. And so if it's a Saturday night and you're having a beer in Peoria, you got to watch yourself.
That's true.
It sucks. So anyway, I had also made a note about some unmarked police cars on 474 one morning. Holy smokes, did the avalanche of people, you know, coming at me.
See, I ducked out early. I saw that. I peeked in. I was like, somebody's going to get upset or somebody's going to be really grateful. Yeah. And I checked in, and it was early on. I didn't see it.
Just a few people said, yep. Saw some people pulled over. There were other people acknowledging that they exist.
It got bad?
But then, no, it's just the typical responses. I didn't expect that people would be so wholeheartedly supportive of the cops.
Back the badge, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, the blue line.
Back the blue.
And I have no problem with backing the blue, but here's my thing. If you're a police car, you should be marked. You're a public servant. You're there for the safety of the individuals.
Okay.
You shouldn't be creeping around in a black car or a gray car with no markings on it whatsoever. There's only one reason you're like that, and that's to sneak up on people.
Sneaky, sneaky, sir.
Yeah. I mean, if your parents did that when you were a kid, if they were always, you know, hiding behind your door to check if you're doing something, you'd be like, screw this, I'm moving out of my house.
Right. You know, I'm going over to my friend's house. They're hiding in the bushes.
Yeah, exactly.
What are they doing over there?
I don't need overprotective cops, you know, watching me at all times. I want cops who are there when I need them, when there's a problem, and I don't think that them sitting on the side of the highway in an unmarked car is being helpful.
You don't think that's the highest and best use of taxpayer dollars and resources?
No. You're worried about, you know, spending money to go to the moon. I'm worried about them spending money on an unmarked car. You know, they could be sitting at the traffic stop helping some kids get across the road, or maybe even sitting at North Pekin intersection of Main Street and 29 where there's an accident every friggin' week.
Yeah,
that blows through there.
Is that still under construction, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it's
okay.
Horrible.
It's a mess, yeah. Well, I'm not going to play devil's advocate because it's not my jam. And I do appreciate when they do, you know, take people who are legitimately not supposed to be on the road, whether they're inebriated or just a crummy driver or driver without plates or something. You know, I do appreciate the fact that they are on the ball when it comes to that. But like the late night, you know, like, oh, it's after midnight and I'm going to set up shop right next to this bar, you know, and just pick them off. You know, I dealt with some of that when I was in Indiana. We had a state trooper who liked to do that, and he wound up pulling over on election night, pulled over a guy who just won a seat on city council and popped him, and he got a DUI. And it was this big thing, like, he won the election, but he failed the sobriety test,
man.
You know,
tonight
at 10.
That's that radio voice I love about Daryl right there.
It's coming out.
Do it again, please.
Yeah, it was bad. And of course, then the trooper got, like, reprimanded and all that. And it was this big ordeal. But it started the conversation, like, okay, what was he doing there? Was he set up to pop this guy? It was like, no, he was doing his... what do you call it, like a targeted enforcement of an area where blah, blah, blah. And that's probably where the 24 and 29 stuff happens. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some folks that, you know, go to River Beach Pub or, you know, some other place, tie one on, and then, you know, they're swerving, you know, in between the double lines the rest of the night. But if you're out on patrols, you're going to catch that guy anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Go after that guy who's out of control then. I mean, the fines are so heavy.
Yeah.
If you're drinking and driving,
right,
you're going to lose your license. You're going to spend, you know, maybe a year or two, you know, maybe with a work release license only. You're going to pay $10,000 or $15,000. This is another example of where people who are least equipped to afford these type of penalties are usually the ones who get stuck with it.
That's true.
Anybody who has a decent income can work their way out of a DUI problem.
Yeah, they'll get an attorney and take care of it.
This targets the people who can afford it the least.
I will say, just on a funnier side of that story, I did, and it was actually in the Heights. Take that back. It was on Lake. It was on Lake in the Heights. We got stopped at one of those roadside safety checks one night, my wife and I, and we were in the 47 Chevy, which has no seatbelts. So we pull up, and the guy's got the mag light, and he's, you know, how you guys doing tonight? We're doing a roadside safety check. Just make sure you got your seatbelts on. And the two guys are side by side shining the lights in there, and they look, and they look at us, and I said, it's a 47, sir. It doesn't have seatbelts. He goes, go on. He just waves me on.
I
you
don't
know.
Even want to talk
he
about
was
it,
disgusted,
yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't know. I see your point. At the same time, you know, I also want folks to do the right thing and don't drink and drive. Call Uber because it's funnier. You can split an Uber with somebody. You usually get to make fun of the driver. It's cheaper that way. And then you got a story. Last Uber I took, it was four guys
in Peoria.
No, it was in Chicago. So four guys in a Ford Focus in rush hour traffic in August. With no air conditioning.
Oh, God.
And let me tell you.
Were you doing the Uber, the one where you, like, join a party of people? Uber?
No, it was, well.
Uber group or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, they got different ones. I forget. No, this was.
Uber pool. It's Uber pool.
It might have been. I don't remember.
Are you like, hey, I'm going down to the Sears Tower, but if you want to pick up two other guys on the way there, that's fine.
Right. And none of them showered. I checked that box, too. I think it was cheaper. The fare's much cheaper if you ride with people who don't shower. Anyways. Let's
ride,
see.
Huh?
Yeah, it was memorable for all the wrong reasons. Let's talk about cars of the week, Eric. I think we've got some pretty good picks here, including... I think one Roadster, and then we're doing a little JDM Japanese import, right?
Yes, we are. Well, let's start with you. It seems like I always kick this segment off.
All right. Well, Cars of the Week, Eric and I always comb the internet in search of the finest vehicles for under $5,000, it seems, or over $100,000.
Yeah, I bid about $3,900 is about my top bid on anything.
There's no in-between. This week, I went with a British choice, a nice little 75 MG Midget, which I probably can't fit in, but they're just cute, and every time I see them in traffic or at a show, I'm like, oh, those are cool. And I would love to drive one, but I probably couldn't fit in one, so I wouldn't own it. But anyways, there's one here in the Peoria area. It's got, I think it was like 50,000 miles on it or 70,000. It was under 100K. It's kind of that prosthetic limb beige, you know, kind of.
I love the color, and I love these black rims that are on it, too.
Yeah, it's very, very kind of period correct. Brown interior, black top, no rips on the top. I think it was fairly new. It was clean in and out. You know, some of those old British cars, they just, you know, they leak everything, and they look terrible, and they just look like.
And the wiring.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be a couple lights that are dimmer than the others.
But they've got a following, and you could probably mail order parts for these things because there's a billion of them.
I would have to think that an MG would have every part available at some point. There's going to be a reman of anything.
I would hope so. And they're easy to work on for the most part. So this one is listed now on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, one of the two. I think it was $2,200 for something, little drop-top British Roadster with a proper gearbox, as they say.
A proper gearbox.
Proper gearbox.
Brilliant.
I think $2,200 is a steal.
I do, too. I think that's a great price.
Somebody needs to buy that.
That's an end-of-season price. It's like when people sell their boats at the end of season, you know, just like, hey, I had all the fun with it this summer. And by the way, there's probably a few problems with it, but it'll be fun for you to work on this winter.
Someone else's project.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of projects, I don't know. The one you're looking at here, Eric, doesn't look like it needs that much.
No, well, except for the fact that the steering wheel's on the right-hand side, so I could deliver mail. That'd be the good news if I bought this car.
Part-time job.
So bring a trailer. It was 2 weeks ago. We are a little bit late on this show, but anyway, 2 weeks ago, a 1992 Celica GT4, which is basically the GTS U.S. version. It's a turbo all-wheel drive, and it's a right-hand drive car. Got shipped over. I think the car had only been in the States since May or June. This is my dream car. It's black on black. The turbo motor in this car, all-wheel drive, five-speed. God, this car screams to me, drive me, you know, it, molest me, abuse me. You know, this car.
Well, it's got the hood scoop and all the cool things. What was it here in the States? The Alltrack?
Yeah.
The Alltrack
GTS?
Yeah, it was
called GTS Alltrack, okay. So the cool thing about this car was a 92, and you may be familiar with this policy, but there's a lot of JDM cars and a lot of the Asian cars and European cars. There's this 25-year limit.
We should probably spell out JDM for those at home who aren't familiar with the term, or they just heard it in like a Fast and Furious movie. What does JDM stand for?
I don't deal with JDM because the problem with JDM for me as a manufacturer representative is I have no books or anything to work on these cars for the most part. Okay. There's a lot of things that look familiar in these cars, but they scare the heck out of us. So when somebody rolls in and says, oh, I got this JDM motor I threw in this MR2. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hang on. You do not want my technicians looking at that because they're going to try and do book time. It's not going to work. But
well, yeah.
But anyway, what I was getting to is the 25-year import ban on these cars. This car's 92. So I mean, technically, in last year, this car would have been eligible to get over here. So that's why it just now is trickling in. And to me, because I graduated high school in 89, a lot of these cars from the early 90s are starting to excite me, starting to get me, you know, all jazzed up. And I'm starting to get really excited because I really do believe that over the next 3 or 4 years, there's going to be some cars that come out that I am just going to be salivating over. And about the mid-90s is when they switched over from the swoopy body style to the one with the four round headlights, that Celica.
I forgot about that one, that more angular kind of.
Well, kind of. I have one in the garage, our convertible one.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. But that was the Celica that just tore apart Rally. for years when they had their bootleg air intake system that destroyed the system. So I'm really hoping that one of those start in 95, if that means that in the year 2020 that one of these comes over.
You're going to be scoping them out.
Oh, my God. I told her I'm due for a midlife crisis car. So yeah, either
this would have been a good one, though, I will say.
This was close.
It was, like you said, it's black on black. It's unique enough. It's got a turbo. It's all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a lot of fun, but also probably a total nightmare if something went wrong.
I don't think no, because I think essentially a lot of this stuff is the same.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't have an airbag. They put it like a race steering wheel. You know, it was funny. This car only went for $6,900, and I think it's because it was right-hand drive. I think that scares a lot of people with a five-speed. It did not hit reserve.
Okay.
And I thought the car, if it were left-hand drive, was an $11,000 or $12,000
car. Yeah, over 10 for sure.
Yeah, so I was shocked that it went that low. No, the official policy on the gray market is it's a ban on import cars younger than 25 years old to keep unsafe and unclean vehicles off of American roads. But the laws were passed more to protect U.S. dealerships from the competition of cars directly imported from other markets. And that makes more sense, honestly.
Yeah, that's probably what that was. It's a shame because there's some really cool stuff out there. But I know it. I have a friend of mine who has an older Skyline, but he bought it from the guy who did all the paperwork and imported it and all that. I mean, because that's a whole headache, trying to bring a car over.
Oh,
here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So if you want to...
There's a lot of faith involved there, too, because you may be sending your money overseas, and you may never see that car.
Exactly, exactly. What's the cute little Nissan POWs and stuff, like the real kind of...
There's some
Figaros.
Yeah. Figaro, yeah.
Yeah, those are really cool, and there's...
They have a Panda or something, too, don't they?
Yeah, something goofy. Like, there was some really cutesy kind of Hello Kitty type cars that came out of Japan that only were sold over there. And now they're starting to make their move over here. And there's places that'll import them. You can buy them. They got a U.S. title, all that. But again, they're cars you're paying $12,000-$15,000 for. And then it's, you know, it's on you to try to figure it out. I don't know. I think it was me, even though I muted it.
Okay.
Terrible.
Yeah, so it's a lot easier to buy this car when it's sitting on U.S. soil.
Yep.
I know there are people that are well, so say there's a 1950s Land Cruiser sitting in Guatemala or something like that. People are like, oh, man, look, I get that thing for $1,700 U.S., but then I got to pay $10,000 import. You're sending your money down there, and you pray to God there's somebody down there with some decency who's going to put that thing on the cargo container because $1,700 may get lost.
Absolutely. Just because you got PayPal, I mean, it's a big leap of faith. And then if you do get it here... do you know if there's anything emission-wise? I mean, here
no,
in Illinois...
once you're past the 25 years, it really is nothing.
Okay. I know that's a big thing
that
in California,
said, though,
too.
California, you may not be able to put that car on the road.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. So California is a big thing. Even cars from other U.S. states that go to California, you got to pay more money and retrofit it for California emissions, all that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Broken dreams, man. I saw you following that, and less than after that Celica. It was beautiful.
Well, I think I posted. I said, I'm having a midlife crisis watching my midlife crisis car go for $59,000. It was only going for $5,000. I'm calling my wife. You know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, honey, what can I bid on this? We don't need a car. We got 6 cars right now for 3 drivers.
Well, yeah.
But I'd be willing to get rid of one or two. You know.
We'll see what happens. It's not the last one. Maybe.
No, and that's the thing about it. Like I said, I actually am very excited because that wasn't maybe the perfect car, but I think over the next couple of years, more of these things are going to start coming through. And I am such a shill for Toyota. I swear to God, I love those. There's just something about it.
Neat cars. I remember my aunt had a convertible version of that, 92-ish body style, and it was white on white on white. And they lived in Florida, so it was perfectly, you know, kind of like Miami Vice-looking car. But it was a cool little car. And then when that design came out, it was definitely really sleek. So I can see why you like them.
Yeah. I just think the car looks mean. I love it.
It does.
All right. So we're throwing in a little bonus section here because I told Daryl I had a call from a dealership this week. I was sitting there and like, hi, this is CC or something. This old redneck girl called me from Liberty Chevrolet. And I'm like, Liberty Chevrolet? Where's that? I think she said El Paso, Illinois. And I didn't even know there was a Liberty Chevrolet. So maybe it's one of those old family stores that got conferred their name. But
okay.
It got me thinking because Liberty Chevrolet, I mean, why couldn't we name ourselves Joan Chevrolet or
family name.
Or El Paso Chevrolet?
Yeah.
So we can identify who we're at. I mean, but no, we're going to call ourselves Liberty. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, no, wait a second, Liberty. And so I Googled it first off. So it was, did you know there's 4 more Liberty Chevrolets just east of the Mississippi River? I mean, they were all over the country. I was shocked by that. I don't think they're related. And then it started making me think about, I think one of the Green brothers had a store over in Danville called American Chevrolet.
Huh.
And I remembered there's Friendly Chevrolet down in Springfield, and of course over in Morton there's Lighthouse Automotive, which I don't even know what the whole lighthouse connotation is.
There's no body of water in Morton,
no,
is
but
there?
I thought lighthouse was for people who were like alcoholics and drug addicts. There was a lighthouse.
Like safe, you're in safe harbor?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. I thought there was always a lighthouse house in town for those people. And then Finish Line Ford up in Pure. Of course, that Finish Line's different because they actually race cars, you know. So I'll say Jeff Green. He can call Finish Line whatever he wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
But do we really feel like there's a tinge of patriotism to a car because we called it Liberty or American?
Right.
You know, honey, I'm going to go down there and get a car from Liberty because I think that's just more patriotic than going down to Green Chevrolet. I think
they'll give you a square deal.
Yeah, they got flags out there. It's more honorable. Seriously? You know, and then I started thinking about it. I mean, all right, so is there somebody who's called themselves Honesty Motors? And sure enough, I Googled it. There's an Honesty Motors.
That's a legit business.
That's a legit business. And then I looked up Serenity Motors. Yeah, God, please give me the serenity, you know, that I need.
Isn't that an incontinence pad or something?
No.
I think it's...
I just wonder. You know,
laxative.
People who are recovering alcoholics, you know, they do take it very seriously. And I'm not slamming you or anything, but sometimes they wear it on their sleeves. So I'm thinking Serenity Motors, probably ex-alcoholic or something like that. Just wants to let everybody know that he's...
It's a marketing ploy. You know, it definitely harkens back to the era where, you know, you want to make sure people trust you. Because, again... Working in the industry, yeah. you're constantly having to battle the whole, like, I'm not going to them used car salesmen, yeah. or I'm not going to get pressured by those, you know, the salesperson. Or everybody thinks that when you're buying a used car or new car or getting service done at a dealership, they're getting hosed somehow. Yeah, it's sure. Like anywhere else, if I go to the grocery store, if I go to Hy-Vee and buy groceries, I don't be like, oh, I just got hosed buying a Jack's Pizza for $2.99.
You know, I'm getting hosed at the freaking Apple store. There's no coupons for me to go to the Apple store.
No.
Verizon's not giving me the Verizon store gives me the heebie-jeebies because that place, there's no deals in there.
No, you're MSRP all day.
Yeah, and you're getting a contract, and you're going to pay for this thing, and you're going to see every finance charge all the way through. Believe me, the cell phone store is far worse than any dealership is.
Absolutely.
But would you feel better if the Verizon store were dressed up in American flags and it was called American Cellular? I mean, does that make you feel a little warmer when you're paying for that cell phone contract?
Not really. But maybe it works on some demographic I'm not aware of. I will say, growing up in the Chicago suburbs, all the dealerships were named after somebody's first name. My dad bought cars for years at Raymond Chevrolet. Well, it wasn't Raymond. It was the Scarpelli family that owned it.
Oh, nice.
Prior to that, it was Teresi Chevrolet. I think it was probably, you know, something else before that. It was, you know, maybe Al Capone Chevrolet or something. But, you know, Anthony Pontiac. I bought a car at Anthony Pontiac.
I never heard of this. Cause down here, it seems like it's always last names.
Last names, that makes more sense. But I think people, again.
Those creepy Italian names.
They wanted to, I don't know, either Americanize it or make it look a little less whatever.
Ethnic.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and it's just one of those things that nowadays.
They don't want O'Toole's Pontiac.
Right. I don't trust those Irish, you know, I'm telling you. I don't know. I'm just telling you. It's just kind of a weird thing what marketing choices people make for their business.
Yeah.
Although there is Liberty Tax, income tax, and there's the guy who dresses
up like the Statue of Liberty out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
There was a Liberty Auto City in one of the towns I grew up in.
Oh, yeah?
So, and it was like Chevy, Buick, and Liberty. There was a... There's another Liberty in
Nothing
Illinois.
Says Liberty like getting a 5-year payment. Getting roped down into a car payment.
Come on down.
Yeah. Now, it did also hark back. I remembered now. Do you remember? I think it was GM dealers had OK used cars.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd go to S&K and you'd see the OK used cars. I mean, I think that's more advertising what the product is. Okay?
A little more pure.
Yeah, we never said they were great. We just said they were OK.
You know? I'm looking
these
at this.
Wipers aren't great. Well, hey, we never said they were great. It's OK.
It's OK. This is way before the days of certified used, right?
Yeah.
It's OK.
It's OK.
I think Honda had OK used cars, too.
Was it Honda?
For a bit. It was GM for sure. Yeah. But what a. It's just okay.
Honesty in advertising. Nobody wants to do it anymore. Anyway, so that was my riff of the week. I grow wary of this stuff.
That's something that really grinds your gears, Eric?
And I don't know. Apparently this week a lot grinded my gears. Customers, cars, other dealerships. I don't know. I drank my first cup of coffee in like 3 weeks today.
So it's basically like an explosion? Like your heart's ready to just...
The last time I drank a cup of coffee, I think I fired somebody. So I try not to do it very often.
Look out. No, I did the same thing, too. The other day, it was like, you know, 3 in the afternoon, and it was just nonstop coffee, because I was falling asleep.
Yeah.
And, yeah, about 5 o'clock that night, I got home for dinner, and I was ready to do drywall and rip out, you know, start a whole new house renovation project. What's going on? I don't know. I've just been drinking coffee for 6 hours. And why are you sweating profusely, honey? I don't know.
Yeah, I remember back in the days when I was a salesman, I'd drink 13 cups of coffee, and my collars would be brown from my shirt because I was just sweating coffee.
Just be sweating Maxwell House all day.
Exactly. I don't know why my pits are all yellow all day. Yeah, it's coffee.
Might be a sign. I might need a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So
free coffee in your dealership, right? I'll just hang out there.
And donuts. Come by any day, Monday through Friday.
For real?
Yeah, and snacks and drink boxes for the kids.
How have we known each other this long and I didn't know that there were free donuts every day?
Yeah, I pick them up every day.
Where do you get them from?
Casey's.
A bakery?
Just Casey's. It's right up the street.
Man, okay. Well, I'm going to take a little detour and pretend.
I'm going to tell you what. I was at this is a sidebar. It's the end of the show. We're an hour in. So if you're in this late, then you know
you're in it to win it.
Exactly. I was at the jewelry store up in Peoria. I was to get my watch refitted because I'd lost weight at the time. Now I'd probably need to add that band slip. But anyway, they were taking out a link out of my watch, and they had Coke in the cooler. And they're like, oh, do you want anything? Do you want a beverage? Do you want a snack? And I'm like, it's a freaking jewelry store, and they're offering me a can of Coke. Yeah. And I thought about it. I'm like, a can of Coke's like 20 cents. And like, our waiting room is nicer than this, and we have more people to wait all day. And I would say people spend a lot more money in my dealership than they do, you know.
Every 20 years at a jewelry store.
So I put Coke and Diet Coke in there. We put drink boxes in there for the kids. We got water, and then we get fresh cookies every afternoon. And
man.
Yeah. Now, there's some dealerships that do, like, lunch where they get Subway sandwiches every day. And I've heard, like, hordes of seniors will show up at noon knowing that these sandwiches are out. You know, I'm not getting to that point. But you know, I want it to be a friendly atmosphere. And we have a kids' room. I have here's what I do, Daryl.
Okay.
I go through the Matchbox cars that all the local Walmarts and Targets, and my wife is shopping.
Mm-hmm.
This is my distraction. And I look for any Toyotas in there.
And you pick them up.
I buy them. And then I hand them out if there's a kid or something, you know, some boys come in or something like that.
Man.
I give them their first Toyota. So.
You run the coolest service department in any dealership.
I like to think that, but then I feel like I'm a failure every day. So,
well, it's just because the bouncer is going to bounce back in your life. No, man, the dealership service, here's what was when I was growing up. It was styrofoam, little 8-ounce styrofoam cup, the percolator coffee, and, like, sugar and creamer from 1968.
There are two or three dealers down the road from me, brand new fascias.
Yeah.
Beautiful stores on the outside, but you go inside and it's still that waiting room. These black vinyl chairs sitting right outside the service department in a row, so you're elbow to elbow with people looking at a coffee machine. I'm like, how horrible is this?
While Judge Judy plays in the background on some TV with a knob broken off of it.
Really? You want to sit here and wait on your car?
So you're changing the game.
No, I'm just doing what they're doing in the metros. This is, eventually everybody's got to catch up to this.
You're going to be like that Lexus dealer out in Beverly Hills that does like a spa. There's like a day spa or something, I think, out in California. It's Florida.
I know some dealers. They have Women Wednesdays where they have a masseuse come in and a manicurist and stuff like that. I'm not doing that stuff.
Well, you can't because you got kicked out last time you were there.
That's right.
They asked you not to come back.
I know the dealer in Peoria serves smoothies and... you know, I have all-time customers who say, look, I got my smoothie up there. I'm like, you pay for it. Don't ever think for a second you're not paying
right,
for this stuff.
Right.
You know, the donuts cost me $16 a day.
Why is the oil change $108?
Yeah. Well, because you got a smoothie. You know?
You got a smoothie and a masseuse, and you're cleansed.
Yeah. No, but, you know, we could get into all this, you know. We'll get into it. For another time, we'll talk about all the... what all these extra things cost, you know, to run the dealership. But
I love it.
Well, you got to do what you got to do to compete in this day and age. So.
We'll break it down. We'll get some spreadsheets on it. We'll break it down.
All right. So this has probably been our longest show.
Sorry.
We did change a few things, so hopefully you enjoyed that. We'd love some feedback. Certainly stop by throwingwrenches.com. Stop by our Facebook page. And the Facebook page, that's where we're throwing all the pictures and stuff. So I really think liking that page is probably the best way to keep up with the show.
Yeah, yeah. And one of these days we'll start, you know, actually putting some stuff on the website. We put some little stuff up here and there.
And maybe we'll do an interview.
I think so. I think so. We got some ideas. We're still working and evolving, but we definitely want to get out and meet with some of you folks because there. I will say this, I won't expand on this, but I would just say this area is full of some really talented people in terms of the car hobby,
true,
car truck.
True.
It doesn't matter. Any kind of anything with a motor on it, there's somebody here who's built it. has perfected it, and there's some really, really highly skilled fabricators in this area. It'd be nice to maybe start showcasing some of those folks while we can. So we'll be out. In the meantime, catch us at one of the shows here while the season is still in full swing. And
what are you going to take out to Friday Night Lights, Daryl?
I might take the Plymouth. I haven't taken that one yet this year. I've taken a couple others. I don't know. Maybe I'll take the Volvo just because when I took it out last time, I got a lot of...
You and the wife can both take a car, right?
We can, yeah. Yeah, she'll drive one of them. She likes that Volvo. That's the funny part. She's like, this thing is goofy. It's just a goofy little car. But when I took it out last time, I did have it at Friday Night Lights with my friend Ben, who also has a 69 Volvo wagon.
Yeah.
And he's a listener of the show. What's up? The two of us had our stuff out there, and there were people that came up and like, oh man, my parents had one of these. And you know, it's funny to listen to stories of the older cars because you hear all the things that they never told their parents. Yeah, I had one of those, man. We took it down a gravel road and I flipped it over and then we pushed it back and we, you know, buffed it out. My dad never knew.
Yeah, like, we used to lose hubcaps in my car, and then half the fun was looking for hubcaps the rest of the night on the gravel roads where we would do are drifting.
A scavenger hunt with it a Velare?
Yeah, it was a Velare. So nice. We do the Midwestern drifting. I didn't even know I was drifting back then, but I was, you know, I was basically dirt track driving out there in the countryside.
But
you never tell those stories when you're a kid. But now, in front of mom and dad, you're like, yeah, we survived. We lived.
Statute of limitations, right? Yeah, they're not going to ground you at our age.
No, they could stop talking to you, but, you know. if my brother had a limp or something, you know, they'd be like, oh, that's how he got it.
Right. I never loved you. Anyways, we'll deal with that later. But thanks for listening, everybody. And it's always good to hear from you. Let us know. Keep those comments coming. Like, subscribe, comment, all that fun stuff.
All right. Look forward to episode 6. We'll be working on a theme. See ya.
Peace.